All right. Well, this morning, that's where we're going to be picking up this morning. And today, in this chapter that we're going to be looking at, we're going to focus on some more of the Lord's amazing miracles that he did, right? And we know Jesus did so many miracles while he was here on earth. And later in Scripture, it tells us that he did so many, right, that there wouldn't be enough books in the world to write them down. And when we think of all these miracles, we may ask the question, why did Jesus do all the miracles he did? Why did he do so many miracles? Why was that so much a part of what he was doing here? Well, I think mainly it was to give miraculous proof that Jesus Christ, one of the reasons was to give proof that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son, right? It's proof. It shows who he is. Proof that he was the promised Messiah. Proof that he was the only Savior of the world, okay? And I think that's one of the main reasons. But through those miracles, I believe Jesus also proved that God is full of compassion and love for people everywhere, right? The act of healing someone is an act of compassion, isn't it? See, God cares infinitely more about us than we may even care for ourselves. That's how much God cares for us. He is a compassionate God. David proclaimed this in Psalms 145. He said this, "The Lord is merciful and compassionate. He is patient and demonstrates great loyal love. The Lord is good to all and has compassion on all he has made." Right? And in Micah 7, the prophet asked this question. He said, "Who is God like you, who forgives sin and pardons the rebellion of those who remain among his people, who does not stay angry forever but delights in showing loyal love?" Right? "Who will once again have mercy on us, who will conquer our evil deeds, who will hurl all our sins into the depths of the sea." Right? Over and over, we can look and we see that not only was Jesus about compassion, but God was about compassion as well. And like Mel mentioned when she was talking about the Mighty to Save song, our adult Sunday school class talked about compassion this morning, right? They're going through compelling convictions, right? I think everybody needs one of these copies. If you don't have one, let me know. I may have to order more, but this is a look at our core values for the brethren in Christ. And this morning, that's kind of what we're talking about here, and that's what y'all talked about in Sunday school. Does anybody remember in the Sunday school what the value is, what it's called? Anybody want to take a bold stand besides maybe Margaret? Well, I have it on the screen for you. This is what we believe in the BIC, that we value serving others at the point of need, following the example of our Lord Jesus, right? That's what we value as the BIC, the Brethren in Christ. And this idea of compassion is something that we as a denomination take very seriously. We take it very seriously, and that's why it's one of our core values. And that's because our God is a compassionate God. If it's important to God, if it's important to Jesus, then it needs to be important to us as well, right? But with that comes the question, how can we make the most of God's compassion? So we can be compassionate, but I think the first step is accepting the compassion that we receive. And that's what we're going to be specifically looking at this morning. And as we, I want you to think about that question. How can we make the most of God's compassion as I read through our scripture reading this morning? So I will be starting in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 14. So if you will join me there. It says this, "Now when Jesus heard this, he went away from there privately in a boat to an isolated place. But when the crowd heard about it, They followed him on foot from the towns. As he got out, he saw the large crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. When evening arrived, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is an isolated place, and the hour is already late. Send the crowds away so that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But he replied, "They don't need to go. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. "Bring them here to me," he replied. Then he instructed the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven, and he gave thanks and broke the loaves. He gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the broken pieces left over, 12 baskets full. Now, not counting women and children, there were about 5,000 men who ate. So Jesus feeding the 5,000, right? It's a great Bible story a lot of us probably heard growing up. The miracle of what Jesus did with the loaves and the fish, right? It's probably something you're very familiar with. And this passage here is something that we're going to focus on. And it's following, if you remember last Sunday, this incident is following after what happened? Did anybody remember? It's happening after the death of John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist was just killed. And so Jesus is wanting to get away, probably to have some time of mourning, to think, to process, right? Because guess what? He was human. He does things that we probably would do in the same situation. We need to focus. We need to think about what just happened. We maybe need to mourn, right? And so that's what he's kind of doing. But overall, this passage here gives us examples of the Lord's compassion. And the original word for God's compassion here in Scripture, at least this Scripture, is the idea of, having a gut-wrenching love for somebody else. That's what they were referring to by this compassion. And it's the same kind of feeling that parents might have for their children when they're sick or hurt, or for their spouse or a friend or a family you might get when someone's hurt, that gut-wrenching feeling you feel towards that person. And that's the kind of compassion, church, that God has for us. He loves us so much, right? So, how can we make the most of God's compassion? Well, first off, my first point is we must, first off, believe in Jesus Christ. Okay? Seems simple, right? But to take advantage of God's compassion, we have to first believe in him to receive that compassion. See, Jesus has amazing compassion for you. He has it for me. He has it for the Joe Schmo who lives down the street. He has it for the neighbor that you don't get along with very well, right? He has compassion for everybody. And at any time, he could squash us like bugs, right? And many of the times, he should squash us like bugs, but he doesn't. He has compassion on us. The Lord loves us. A pastor was talking to a class of little children, and he asked them this question. So kiddos, listen up. He said this: if all the good people in the world were red, and if all the bad people in the world were green, what color would you be? The pastor asked the little girl this. And the little girl sat there and thought for a little bit, right? Thought for a moment about what she would answer. And then her face lit up and she said, "I'd be streaky." Right? A little mix of both. A little red, I'm good, I'm bad. I'm a little, it's smearing together, isn't it? And I think many of us would say the same for ourselves, right? We're not fully good. We're not fully bad. It's kind of merging, right? And you see, we all need the Lord's merciful compassion. Because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay?
all of us.
Our God is a compassionate God. And if you ever doubt it, just think about what he did on the cross. See, that was the greatest display of compassion that could ever be made. In Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for our sins. He did that because of his loving compassion for you, for me, for everyone. But we have to believe in the Lord's compassion. We have to be spiritually born again by receiving the crucified and risen Christ as our Lord and Savior. You see, many of the people healed and fed in this morning scripture, guess what? They probably did put their trust in Jesus that day. But many others most likely also refused to believe in Jesus that day. They made the fatal mistake of rejecting the compassion of the Savior. They missed it. And unless they later trusted in the Lord at a later point, they were lost forever. See, we must depend on his compassionate love. We must, especially the love that Jesus demonstrated when he died on the cross for our sins. But we all know, many of us, that that wasn't the end of the story, right? He didn't just die on the cross. 3 days later, he did what? He rose again from the dead. He overcame death. And now our risen Savior reaches out to give eternal life to everyone who believes in him, right? Share this verse all the time, probably more than I should, but John 3:16 says this, "For this is the way that God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, right, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Church, I want you to hear that word everyone. Guess what? It means me. It means you, right? Means all of us, everyone. Everybody has sinned. So guess what? Everybody needs a Savior. And Jesus will be your Savior if you believe in him. But this believing, it means a whole lot more than just believing with your mind, okay? It means more than just believing with your mind. See, church, it means believing with your heart. It means believing with your life, right? It means receiving Jesus into your heart. It means having a real relationship with the Lord. It means following his ways, and it means allowing him to lead your life. Story, John Patton, he can help us understand this word believe this morning. And John and his wife were pioneer missionaries in the South Pacific, okay? And they were trying to work with the people who didn't have a word for believe in their language, okay? And this was a huge problem when John began translating the Bible into their native language. He was having a hard time finding a word that he could associate with believe. And then one day, a man came in, and he was exhausted from working out in the hot sun all day, and he found a chair, and he sat down, and in his native language, he said this, "How wonderful it is when you are tired and can lean your whole weight on something." You see, when John heard the phrase, he said it was like lightning struck, right? Suddenly, he realized this. He said, "That's it. Lean your whole weight on something." That was what John Patton used in his translation for believe. This is what it means, church, to believe in Jesus. That we fully lean on him, okay? We're not partially leaning on him. We fully lean on him. And you can trust in Jesus to hold you up for all eternity. And he gives us gives you his eternal life. So, the infinite blessings of God belong to us when we believe in Jesus. And after, point two, after we believe, we then are a channel for the Lord's compassion, okay? You see, you might think that since Jesus has boundless power and compassion for everybody, that we should just sit back and let him meet all the needs in the world, right? We might think, oh yeah, this is easy. He'll take care of it, right? If he really wants that to happen, he'll make it happen, right? And God is more than capable to do that. But that's not how the Lord works a lot of the times. Guess what? He wants to use you to do his will. Verse 15 through 16 reminds us that Jesus wants us to pour out the same kind of compassion we can see in him. It says this in verse 15, when evening arrived, his disciples came to him saying, this is an isolated place and the hour is already late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But he replied, they don't need to go. You give them something to eat. Right? He's putting it on them, right? Putting it on the disciples. And when I read through this, I can almost picture the disciples thinking, what? 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 You want me to do what? You want us to feed them? How's that going to work? We're out in the middle of nowhere. There may be 15,000 people here, counting the women and children, right? It says there's 5,000 men. If every man's married, that's another 5,000. And if every couple has a kid, that's another 5,000, right? 15,000 people here. Plus, it's already late in the day. How are we going to do this? Not to mention the fact that 200 days of work wouldn't provide enough money to feed that crowd. This is very easily what they were thinking. How, Lord? What do you mean feed them? See, the Lord asked his disciples to do something they couldn't possibly do on their own. And you see, sometimes Jesus will stretch us beyond our normal abilities. Did you know that? He'll stretch us. So what in the world do we do in moments like that? How do we respond to being stretched like that? Well, first, we have to ask the Lord to give us his kind of compassion. Okay? And we're not likely to be a channel for the Lord's compassion without having some of his compassion in us to begin with. Okay? Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You see, we can surely be channels of the Lord's compassion. We can. And we must, right? Because if we're not the people who care, then who will care, right? If our church is not the place where people can come and find compassion, then where will they find it, right? We have to be that compassion. We seek more of the Lord's compassion in our own heart. That's one way of doing it. But then, okay, then we do what we can do through what he's given us, okay? But what we can't do, we trust Jesus to do through us, okay? Do what you can and trust him to do what you cannot, right? God gives us abilities. Yours might be playing the piano, singing, writing. You might be able to write very well, right? We all have different abilities. But he can even work through our inabilities when we are moved by his compassion, okay? He can move through us. And there's a story of a man who tried to, that kind of relates to this. Story about a man who tried to end his life. And this desperate man, he decided he was going to jump into the river to do it. But his friend was walking by at the same time, and he saw him jump in. And immediately, the friend jumped in after him. And you may think, oh, well, that's not anything amazing. But it is amazing. Because the man who jumped in to save his friend, He couldn't swim, right? Now the man trying to kill himself knew this, knew that his rescuer could not swim. He knew the person. He was like, well, what are you doing? You can't swim. And he wanted to die, but guess what? He didn't want his friend to die. So he ended up rescuing the rescuer. Okay? And in the process, this miserable man, he realized that, guess what? He really didn't want to die. So what made the difference here? It wasn't the man's ability, the friend's ability to, right? Because he couldn't swim at all. He was no good to his friend after he jumped in the water to save him. What was he going to do? Right? What made the difference here was the non-swimmer's love and compassion for his friend. It was his willingness to take a risk. It was his willingness to sacrifice himself for somebody else. That is what the difference is. And you see, church, God can use people with hearts like that in spite of their inabilities. We may think we're incapable, but who is always capable? God. See, Jesus can even do the impossible through us because all good things are possible with God. So, be a channel of the Lord's compassion. And then, point three, put everything under the Lord's control. Okay? You see, we should put everything we have under the control of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be doing that as believers. Okay? And I believe this is the lesson that we can learn today in verse 17 through 18. See, after Jesus told his disciples to feed that enormous crowd, they said to him this, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? And Jesus said, bring them here to me, okay? You see, Jesus told them to take that tiny amount of food to him. And guess what? That's exactly what they did. John 6 tells the same story, and he gives us a little bit more details here. John, his translation, shares that they got the small amount of food from a little boy who had brought his lunch that day. Okay? And you see, that little boy was willing to give his lunch to the Lord, right? He was willing to put everything he had in the Lord's hands. And you know what? That's what God wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do. See, we may not seem to have much, right? And we may not be able to see how the Lord can use what we have, the very little, if that's it. But if we will submit our little bit to God, he will multiply it. Right? And that's what God wants us to do. He will use it for his glory. It just takes a little bit. See, many times the need will seem bigger than us. And the need is bigger than us many of the times, right? But guess what? The need is never bigger than God. Than the Lord. That is because all good things are possible with God. So as believers, we should be willing to put everything we have in his control. That means our money, our possessions, our time, our talents, right? That's what we're called to do. Give the Lord control of your life. And he will get you to the right place at the right time, right? Another story for you. There was a woman named Mary, and she was a nurse from England. And she learned this truth as she served in a Muslim country. And she was serving in a missions clinic there. And she and her helper, they needed to travel 8 miles to another village one day. And they caught a bus going in that direction, but for no apparent reason, the bus driver passed the stop they were planning to make and just kept going, right? And the driver was very rude and ignored the women's pleas to stop or let them get off. And naturally, Mary was upset, but her helper remained calm and reminded Mary that they had just prayed that morning, asking God for God's guidance, okay? Well, finally, the bus stopped at the bottom of a hill, miles away from home. And standing right there was an old woman with a baby in her arms. And the woman walked up to Mary and handed her the baby. And that poor child had a terrible eye infection, and it needed immediate medical attention to save its eyes, right? Well, Mary asked this older lady, "How in the world did you know where to find help so far from home? How did you know?" And the lady replied that a man had come to her in her dream and told her that an English nurse would be waiting at the end of this road the next day. You see, Mary didn't plan to go to that stop. That was not in her plans, right? God used a rude bus driver to take them to the right spot, right? Maybe we've got a rude bus driver in our lives trying to take us somewhere we don't think we want to go. Mary treated that baby's eyes. In a few days, the infection was better. And on top of all of that, Mary and her friend, her helper, were able to share their testimony with the whole village that they had no intention of even reaching at all. That was the opportunity they got. You see, church, when we give the Lord control of our lives, He will surely take us to some unexpected places, right? I got to experience this firsthand. I never expected to travel around many places, live all across the country before I was, 25? But when did we get married? I don't remember. But I was willing to go where God called me, right? We got to take advantage. We got to listen to what God wants. And we won't always understand where He's going. I sure didn't understand where He was taking me all the time. But He will always take us to the right place at the right time, right? And we will get to see some miracles along the way. So, put everything in the Lord's control. And lastly, this morning, we must follow the Lord's commands, okay? See, in verse 19, Jesus, He had a very specific command to the people. He said this, He instructed this to the crowds, to sit down on the grass. Then He took the 5 loaves, 2 fish, looking up to heaven, He gave thanks and broke the loaves. He gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. And Luke 9 also has this story. Luke shares that the Lord tells them to sit down in groups of 50, okay? Can you imagine, real quick, what did we decide, 15,000? On the conservative side, okay? Can you imagine the situation happening there? What was taking place between the hungry people, the unorganized mob of 15,000 people? That's a lot. There could have been a riot. People could have been trampled, right? So the Lord commanded the people to sit down in manageable sizes. And they were blessed. Those people were blessed by obeying. The crowd obeyed by sitting in the groups. The disciples even obeyed by serving the people, right? And I want you to notice that this great miracle might not have happened if either of those people, groups of people, had refused to obey that day, right? What if the crowd had refused to stay? Well, there would be no need to provide a meal for 15,000 people then. What if the disciples had refused to serve the people, right? See, obedience, church, is vital when it comes to the big things that Jesus wants to do through us. It's vital. And sadly, we can block the Lord's blessings through our own disobedience. But you see, when we follow Christ's commands, He will provide us with all we ever need. We just have to do what? We have to be obedient. We have to be willing to follow. Jesus can give us a miraculous, abundant overflow of good things. And that's what he shares in verse 20 and 23. It says this, "They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up the broken pieces left over, 12 baskets full, not counting women and children. There were about 5,000 men who ate." How much left over did they have? How much did they have at the beginning? An abundance, right? They had more than enough than what they needed. Christ took that measly lunch from that boy and made it more than enough for 15,000 people. And there's no telling, church, how much Jesus can do through us when we follow his commands as well, right? I'm going to close with one last story. A lot of stories for you this week. It's about a pastor. His name's John Smithson. And he shared a story about a young girl who grew up in California during the Great Depression. And he shares that when she was 10, her family was so poor, they didn't live in a house. They just lived in a tent. They couldn't afford a house. They just lived in a tent. A lot of people in her families went down wrong paths and did things that they were not supposed to do. She had a really rough home life. But one day, a man and a woman came to her, and they invited her to church. And they started taking her to church. And that blossomed, and that developed into, after church, they would start taking them to her home, their home, and feeding her after church, sharing with her even more after church. And they showed this young girl the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. And because of this, she eventually came to know Jesus Christ for herself. And John Smithson told that story, and then he said this. He said, "That little girl was my grandmother, right? And because of the love shown her 55 years ago, every one of her descendants are Christians and working for God." Right? He says, "Because of her, I'm here. Because of her, all three of her children were pastors. Three of her grandchildren were pastors. Plus, there was a music leader and a Sunday school teacher, many of them. A whole army for God from one person." Right? See, that's how to make the most of God's compassion in your life, right? God will show you that compassion, and it will be different for you than it is for me, right? God will do the most he can with compassion. You have to make advantage of it, take advantage of it. And you see, it all starts with believing in our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus. You must receive him as your Lord and Savior. That's the first step to sharing God's compassion, is receiving that compassion. Once you receive that compassion, then you'll be able to come and be a channel for the Lord. Then we must put everything in his control and follow his commands more closely every single day. It takes every day. You wake up tomorrow, you got to make a commitment to the Lord. "I'm going to follow you today," right? You'll be glad you did. And trust me, there's no telling how much the Lord can do through you. There's no telling. Kiddos, your story is only beginning, right? There's no telling what God can do through you. This morning, we get the opportunity to celebrate communion. And as we transition to communion, I want you to think about the compassion that you have witnessed shown to you. Maybe it's through other people. Maybe it's through Jesus himself. Maybe it's through reading through the Word, right? The compassion that you've seen. And as you think about that, I wanted to share a verse for you. It's out of Philippians 2, 5 through 11. I don't have it on the screen, so I just encourage you to listen. It says this: "Instead of being motivated by selfish ambition or vanity, each of you should, in humility, be moved to treat one another as more important than yourself. Each of you should be concerned not only about your own interest, but about the interest of others as well. You should have the same attitude toward one another that Christ Jesus had, who, though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a slave, by looking like other men, and by sharing in human nature. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As a result, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, church, basically, Jesus did all of that I just read because he has compassion for you. He did it because he loves you. And you see, we are called to show that compassion to others as believers. And I want this act of communion this morning to remind you, okay? Let it to be a remembrance that you, as a believer, what we are called to do, right? We're called to show compassion to other people. We're called to live as Christ lived. And I'm going to invite Barth up. I haven't mentioned this to them, but Randall, will you come up? And Margaret, can you help this morning with communion? And as they come up this morning, think about what the compassion you've received. And as we get ready to take communion, I want you to examine your heart and make sure there's any issues you need to deal with in your heart with anybody. Ask God to forgive you of any sins that you've committed. Because it's important for us to take care of the sin between us and God before we remember. So I do challenge you in that.